back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going pretty well. I'm officially a year older than I was the last time we recorded a podcast. I'm not sure if I'm a year wiser, though. I'm not sure if that's how that works, but I probably am.
By default, I would say you are.
Yeah. I don't think it's a humble brag saying that my birthday was yesterday, but I'm now in my Claude Giroux year. The big 2-8. Hopefully I don't get traded to Florida, although it wouldn't be the worst thing to be. Well, actually, it kind of is because they're down 2-0. Hopefully I don't get traded to Florida somehow. But it was a great day yesterday. Got a good weekend coming up with my friends. Attending the Phillies game tomorrow night. Might do some responsible drinking this weekend. Just looking forward to having some fun. Had a good night and a good day yesterday. And you know, we're talking hockey and, you know, we're doing our thing. So I'm all for it, Dave.
Yeah. And there actually is the majority of this week's podcast actually will be Flyer-centric because of the deal that went down. What was that? That was just on the 6th. That was Tuesday. It was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
But before we get to that little nugget, we're going to tease you there for a second. Just some minor kind of, oh, hey, that's neat news. This year, 2023, is the first year that the American Hockey League is doing a top prospects team. And to qualify to be a part of this top prospects team, it consists of the AHL's top 22 and under players to be considered. Skaters must have played at least 36 regular season games in the American Hockey League and fewer than 30 games in the NHL. And then, of course, for goalies, it was a lower number, obviously, since goalies, you know, typically play less games than skaters. But out of all the players listed, you know, some good high-end prospects named for other teams. We're not going to name the full team. But the reason why we're bringing this up is because the Philadelphia Flyers own Tyson Forrester, who split time between the Flyers and Bams this season, made the list as one of the forwards, as one of the AHL's top prospects. So that is kind of, oh, hey, neat. That's cool.
Yeah.
And definitely, I feel like it was well-deserved. He was an AHL All-Star. Mm-hmm. And even when he got his call up with the Flyers, his heavy, booming wrist shot was noted. Mm-hmm. And he looked like he belonged. So the fact that Tyson Forrester is on a list with just a few names here, you know, David Yurecek, Simon Nemec, and Jesper Wallstat. Mm-hmm. Those are three high-end prospects for other teams in the NHL, respectively. So the fact that he's on a list with those same players means I think we definitely have a player in Tyson Forrester himself.
Yeah, I mean, he was exciting to watch for the few games that he played for the Flyers this past year. Obviously, the Phantoms got bounced in the best of three. Yeah.
The round one. Won round one, and then they lost the next two.
Yeah.
Wasn't pretty.
So, you know, disappointing. Well, I don't even think you can call it a run. A disappointing end of this season for them. But, I mean, you know, there's a lot of promise, I think, with the Flyers and their young talent, more than there has been in a while. And then, I mean, speaking of potential young talent as well, Dave, I think we can get into it. Like you said on Tuesday, Daniel Briere officially kind of, you know, did the Conor McGregor walk into the hockey world as the Flyers' new general manager and just, you know, dropped a bomb on the league in a three-way trade with the Columbus Blue Jackets and the LA Kings. I'll just go through the graphic here because there's a lot to process here. But it's a doozy. So the Flyers received a 2023 first round pick from Columbus, which is the 22nd overall pick. Great pick. They also received the 2024 second round pick from LA. They also received a 2024 conditional second round pick from Columbus. And then they received goaltender Cal Peterson from LA, defenseman Sean Walker from LA.
Yes. All the players came from LA.
Okay.
Or as I was
going to say,
LA.
Yeah. And then defensive, I think you believe he's a prospect.
Yes.
Helg Granz, yes. I believe is how you pronounce it.
He played for the Ontario Reign last year.
Yeah. Columbus received Flyers' longtime defenseman and obviously problematic guy, Ivan Provorov. And to round things out, the LA Kings received forward Hayden Hodgson, defenseman Kevin Connaughton, and they also were a broker and retained 30% of Provorov's salary. So a big three-way trade here between the Flyers, the Blue Jackets, and the Kings. And I think this is one of the few times over the last however many years that the hockey world has reacted to the Flyers as doing the fleecing instead of getting fleeced.
Yes.
Because this was a hell of a trade. It was a hell of a first step for Danny Briere in getting, you know, mainly that draft cap, I think, because, you know, obviously the Flyers need to keep stocking that prospect pool. They can still, you know, they can trade these picks if they want to as well at the draft or during the season or, you know, whenever they want, kind of. And you get rid of, I mean, Provorov is just a dude where once Matt Niskanen left, he was a hollow shell of his former self.
Mm-hmm.
There was something that went wrong with him skill-wise, and then also there was that whole thing. Kind of, I guess, ironic, not to bring up the situation again, but he gets traded during Pride Month.
In a three-way in Pride Month.
Okay, I wasn't going to take it that far.
Ayo.
Oh, my God. Anyway, but, yeah, so there's the kind of like that underlying, you know, comedy to it. But, again, as a player, you know, Provorov.
I apologize for the NSFW there. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But as a player, you know, Provorov just dropped off after the Matt Niskanen years because, again, he was supposed to be that number one guy,
mm-hmm.
supposed to kind of, you know, not need a crutch of a vet D-man to hold him up and to be able to kind of, you know, hold his hand and let him kind of do his thing. And when it came time for him to be the guy, he, you know, fell flat on his face and was just, again, a hollow shell of himself, just completely dropped off in play. I think it was, I mean, again, the eye test and analytics looked bad.
Very bad.
Yeah, and to get this type of return for a guy whose value is probably at his lowest is, again, the Flyers fleeced both these teams. And, you know, I'll take it because obviously this is the first time in a long time that they've done the fleecing, like I just said a minute ago. But it was a great trade. I don't know, again, if Cal Peterson, Sean Walker, and Granz will all be here in orange and black. There's also, you know, it's a rumor mill at this point where apparently there's also deals in place or there's talks of Carter Hart getting traded, Travis Konecny getting traded. I really think no one is safe on the roster at this point with the exception of maybe one or two guys, but I don't even think anyone's safe. With Hart's name being out there, like you thought, like, you know, they would have at least maybe one or two or three untouchables. But, I mean, we just – and again, I don't think Provorov really wanted to be here anymore anyway.
No.
Go ahead.
He really soured. Charlie O'Connor mentioned this on Twitter, I think, earlier today or yesterday, that Provorov really mentally and in the locker room, he truly thought that he should be an offensive, dominant number one defenseman. And his attitude carried him as such to where he really soured in the locker room. So it was time for him to get moved.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really interesting to see how things pan out because Columbus has Zach Werenski, who has proven that he is Columbus's number one guy, like offensively and defensively. So if Provorov thinks he's going to go to Columbus and be the man, he's in for a rude awakening.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know how they're going to do it, obviously, because I'm not really too close on the Blue Jackets' heartbeat, so to speak. But if Provorov is supposedly a guy or the guy, but again, you have Zach Werenski. I believe Werenski's a right-handed shot.
No, he's so left.
Is he a lefty?
He's a lefty.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
And he was actually taken one pick after Provorov in the same draft year. They were from the same draft class.
I was going to say you'd have a righty and lefty defensive pair, but, you know.
No.
Never mind.
They're both lefties.
Forget what I said. But, no, I mean, again, I think the real story here, I guess the real two stories, is that, again, you know, Provorov's just his complete, you know, fall off a cliff ever since Matt Niskanen left. And then also, you know, this is a huge step in the right direction and a great start for Danny Briere and, you know, that new era of Orange that we're in now. So it's a high bar to set, but it's Danny B doing his McGregor walk into the Wells Fargo Center and showing the fans, you know, he means business now. And this is a hell of a step in the right direction for the Flyers to, you know, make something happen and to build a contending team. And also, again, we're seeing kind of, you know, that scary R word rebuild that the previous management and ownership was too, excuse my language, but too chicken shit to pull the trigger on. So I think, again, you know, this new era and what's the thing I was using for president of hockey ops? I forget the abbreviation I was using that you didn't want to use.
Oh, I'm forgetting too. Damn it.
That's all right. But yeah, I mean, like Briere, Keith Jones, you know, Val Camillo and Dan Hilferty, and Tortorella. I mean, I'm sure, you know, they're all kind of working together as we saw earlier in that press conference a few weeks back. And This new regime, again, so far means business, and, you know, you just hope they can continue to, you know, rebuild but also build.
Yes.
So it's exciting. You know, everyone obviously that was buzzing on Flyers Twitter, on, you know, hockey Twitter. Obviously, Dave, you and myself were texting back and forth. So, again, hell of a trade for the Flyers, and, you know, I think it's only the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very, very excellent trade for Danny Briere to start his tenure off as Flyers general manager with. This draft this year is super, super deep. Like, it might be one of the deepest draft classes of all time. So the fact now that the Flyers have the 7th overall pick and the 22nd overall pick, that's huge. And of course, also gaining the second round pick as well this season. Now, there's a lot of good players. Like, there are players potentially, if you're comparing this year from last year, that if they were a top 10 player last year, they might have not get picked in this year's draft class till around the 20s. So that's how big this draft class really is. So that's exciting. And of course, and the Flyers really want to make splashes, they can always combine pick 7 and pick 22 and move up. That's entirely possible. But I like having the option there of having those two picks in the first round and, of course, getting that additional second round. You know, you're giving up Ivan Provorov, like I mentioned. Time to kick rocks, dude. See you later. Have fun with Mike Babcock in Columbus. I'm sure you're gonna get along great with him. And to Hayden Hodgson and Kevin Connaughton, thank you for your service. You were minor league guys. Hayden Hodgson, you're a career ECHLer. Kevin Connaughton, a fringe NHLer. Neither of you were very good with the Flyers when you were here. So sayonara. Thank you for your service. And really gaining Cal Peterson gives you some goalie stability. I know he didn't have a great year last year and was waived by the Kings at a pretty heavy cap hit to the Ontario Reign. But for a while, he was supposed to be the heir apparent to Jonathan Quick in LA, and it looked like he was headed that way.
Yeah.
But I really think, personally, I hold on to Carter Hart. You know, he's a 24-year-old goalie. If you think about it, rebuilds can take 4 to 5 years. If he wants to stay here at the end of it and they can build properly, you're getting out of your rebuild when Carter Hart theoretically is entering his goalie prime of the years, typically 27 to 31. So, you know, rebuild could really pan out when Hart's at his best So I think, and also like Cal Peterson could be a really good goalie tandem. Like I know Peterson, like I mentioned, had a down year, but I liked his play for a long time. I like how he catches with the opposite hand. He catches with his right hand and his blocker hand's on his left hand. So I love goalies who do things the Apo Taco way. And I mean, I think there's something there. And even if they were to potentially trade Carter Hart, which you would have to get an astronomical return for. Yeah. Like, I'm not talking just one first draft pick. I'm talking multiple draft picks and multiple top end prospects if you're trading mm-hmm. away a franchise away like Hart is. And you go with Cal Peterson as your starting goalie, and if he stinks, guess what? The Flyers are rebuilding. He helps the rebuild and gets you a better draft capital of the draft. So it could work out one or two ways. Sean Walker, he's a player who I've always kind of had circled on the Flyers radar for my personal taste because I do, you know, I have liked the LA Kings a lot in the past. And I do kind of keep tabs on there because, you know, them always kind of being the Flyers West back when Hextall was out there. And there's still a lot of ties between the two teams. A lot of people have worked for both organizations before. Yep. But Sean Walker, you know, he's a solid, you know, number five, number four defenseman. He's a borderline, you know, he can be your second pair right-hand shot or he can be your main third pair right-hand shot. He kind of replaces that Justin Braun role. Yeah. He's got a little bit more high-end, upper-end talent offensively than Braun did. Mm-hmm. And he's a very solid player. He's a very good defensively. Mm-hmm. He's going to help solidify that defense in front of Carter Hart, which is huge for him.
Yeah.
And he's great in the locker room. He makes the smart plays. He's just all around a very smart player. And it's a really good add for Briere to get. And I believe he does only have 1 year left on his deal. So if we are fully rebuilding and the Flyers aren't doing that great, guess what? He's an asset that they can then trade at the deadline next year to bring in more draft capital back. And then Granz, he's a big right-handed Swedish defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people compare him to Philip Myers. Take that what you will. Mm-hmm. Myers, kind of a hot topic around here in Philadelphia. I thought we might have got rid of him a little bit too soon, but he did digress after the bubble year, kind of like a lot of the team did. Mm-hmm. But he's a recent second round pick, 35th overall. So that's not a slouch. He's not really an offensive guy. He's more a stay at home, physical defensive defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
But that right hand shot is huge. And he actually spent time playing with Emil Andre for Team Sweden in national tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
So that's huge there. So I think Walker and Peterson definitely with the Flyers next year. Bronze is with the Phantoms, I definitely think. And he's another nice piece to add in to with Emil Andre and Ronnie Adderd as these future pieces of our back end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is. Danny Briere fleeced LA and Columbus. Like you said, the Conor McGregor walk. He said, I'm here and I mean business and it's time to take the Flyers seriously again because Chuck Fletcher wasn't making this deal. And if he made this deal, he was not getting this value in return.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. And I think every Flyer fan knows that. So this is great. And, you know, now after this deal, the Flyers now have 10 picks in the draft, which is huge. Because, like I mentioned earlier, this is a very deep draft class. And this draft right here, if things go well, and you get really good pieces to add into with Cutter Gauthier, could accelerate the rebuild process. That's mm-hmm. how deep this draft class is. So I'm excited. Attaboy Danny B. So far, you have a rating of 2 thumbs up from myself.
All right. I dig it. I don't know if this next topic gets 2 thumbs up from us, but obviously the Stanley Cup final has been going on ever since June 3rd. Last Saturday was game one in Vegas. The Golden Knights are currently leading the series 2-0.
The NHL is taking their sweet time having the series get out.
Yep. With game three being tonight, you know, right after we record this in Sunrise, Florida. The game's on at 8 o'clock, I believe.
Yep.
On TNT.
TNT, TBS, and True TV.
Yeah, all the TNT, all the Turner networks. Yes. So tune in. Obviously, that's why we're recording early, so we can finish up to the episode for this week and, you know, watch the game. So to do our journalistic duties.
Yes.
But
we have to sound like we know what we're talking about when we come to this podcast.
I mean, or
else no one would listen.
Just fake it till you make it, right? I'm just kidding.
I mean, we have done that before.
Yeah.
But I feel as though you and I both feel better when we know what the hell we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I always feel better when I'm actually, like, watching the games and I'm just not, like, I'm not reading from the box score. Like, yeah, you know.
Oh, yeah, the Flyers, they lost again. Oh, too bad. So sad.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, again, it's 2-0 Vegas right now in the series with Game 1 having a final score of 5-2 and Game 2, again, with a score more lopsided, 7-2 victory by the Golden Knights. You know, a rough game for Florida, two rough games for Florida. I mean, they've kind of gotten, you know, stymied in their offensive ways for the most part. My one friend was joking a couple of days ago and was like, suddenly Aiden Hill is the next Jacques Plante. like, because obviously he had that crazy paddle save in the first game. And, you know, that was also like kind of pretty eerily similar to the 2018 final with the Capitals and the Golden Knights with Holtby's save against the Knights. So this time the Knights got one in their favor, if you want to call it that, with, you know, a miraculous save in that game. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Panthers, it's, you know, it's not for lack of trying. It's been two pretty physical games. It's been two, I mean, you can call it back and forth, I think. It's just, you know.
I think it's been all Vegas.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, like, if you just, like, if you were, again, we've watched these games where, you know, we're going to go into some good depth here about it. But, you know, if you were to look at shots from the last game on Monday, shots were 28-31 in favor of the Panthers. And then game one, shots were, again, 35-34 again in favor of the Panthers. So, again, they're getting their chances, but again, somehow Aiden Hill is the second coming of Jacques Plante at this point. And I think it's just, you know, Bobrovsky just, I mean, again, I don't know. Magic's worn off. Yeah, I was going to say, I think the magic is running out for the Panthers here where, you know, again, we've said it before where Florida's been the team of destiny against Vegas where they've kind of, you know, slayed the dragon in each of their past series and they've got only Panthers left to slay. And you know, we'll see if they can take that commanding 3-0 lead tonight. And, you know, by the time we record next, which will be what, in a couple weeks,
next week.
By the time we air again next week, we could, you know, be talking about a Stanley Cup champion. So I mean, me personally, again, just as a hockey fan, I think I would love to see this go the distance. You know, who doesn't love a Game 7 in Stanley Cup Final, preferably overtime, which would be, you know, amazing to see the Cup being won in overtime, unless we're going to talk about – we're not going to talk about 2010.
Nothing happened. Yeah, no Cup was awarded in 2010.
No. We're not going to go back to that.
Nothing happened.
It's like that Vietnam meme where, like, Fortunate Son starts playing and you hear the helicopters in your head and you just kind of, like, zone out and you're just like, uh-oh. But, yeah, I mean, you want – and, again, this is already kind of, like, a tough matchup for the NHL marketing-wise because you have, you know, you have an expansion team.
I mean, you have Vegas.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know, like – it's just, again, I think these playoffs has been very unique. Where, again, like we said before, every team that we thought was going to be kind of in the mix at this point
is not.
So it's been, again, it's been a very interesting ride. But it'll be cool. Again, this will be, the first time either one of these teams wins a cup. So, you know, you'll have a new group of names, you know, etched into the Stanley Cup at some point in the near future. But, yeah, I mean, it's just... I don't know. It's just, I want it to go 7 games. I would love to see a game 7 overtime for, you know, like it all comes down to sudden death for the winner of the Stanley Cup. And, yeah, I mean, Vegas has definitely been the better team, I think, in a lot of aspects, especially with, you know, I mean, that hit from, was that Tkachuk on Eichel the other night was...
Oh, phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, huge that Eichel came back. I thought he was going to be out. Dunzo.
And he had a nice assist on their next goal. Like,
yep.
So, I mean...
Rekko Gudas is back for game three tonight, yep. Which I have no idea how, because he was definitely... He has a concussion.
Yeah.
Like 110%. The league is... Allowing him to play is the wrong call there.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, with the exception of Gudas, you see, you kind of always see, you know, after the fact what these guys are playing through, what they're dealing with injury-wise. And, you know, obviously you don't want a guy to be like, yeah, I played through a concussion. Like, that's not a good
thing. Wasn't it Patrice Bergeron who played through a punctured lung
yeah,
a couple years ago?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, there's been, you know, any sort of injury that you can name, hockey players, obviously, you know, you lay your body on the line to win the Stanley Cup, and it's, you know, it shows. So, it's been physical, it's been, you know, tough, it's been gritty, it's been, you know, all that good stuff that you want in a Stanley Cup final, but I would love for Florida to win tonight, especially on home ice, to kind of, you know, make it a series, so to speak, and then regain that momentum going into game four on Saturday and try to even it up, because I think if Vegas wins tonight, it could be curtains pretty soon for the Panthers.
Is it the saying, you haven't really truly lost a series till you've lost one game at home?
I think they say the series hasn't truly started. until the road team loses or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's something like that. I think the true saying is a series hasn't truly started until the road team wins. But the Panthers haven't won yet, and if they win tonight, they're not the road team. So hopefully they win tonight and kind of prove that statement wrong for the time being. But I mean, there's also that question of, you know, that whole rest versus rust thing where the Panthers had what, 11 days off between
they had games. 9 days off.
Okay. For some reason I thought it was 11.
No, pretty sure it was 9.
But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of factors, obviously, going into this. And, you know, both teams have taken different paths to get to where they are now. But only one team can be, you know, at the top of the mountain. And, I mean, within at least the next week or so, there'll be a Stanley Cup champion that'll be crowned and will be officially in the offseason. But, you know, for now, I think, again, I don't know. I would say that, I mean, obviously, you know, every game is a must-win, so to speak, but I feel like this game tonight for the Panthers is definitely a must-win because, you know, to have your backs against the wall 3-0. Granted, they have home ice for the next 2 games here, but, you know, I think if they don't win tonight, it's, you know, it's time to – well, I think it's already kind of time to hit the panic button if you're the Panthers, but even more so, you got to – it's like you're pressing A on a loading screen to try to make it load faster. Yeah. That's going to be how they're hitting the panic button. Yeah. And then, you know, Vegas is just going to start smelling blood more, and they're just going to, you know, go in for the kill. So, you know, again, game three tonight at 8 o'clock on the Turner Sports Networks.
Yes.
And, you know, we see what happens. But, Dave, you have any thoughts on the series and kind of where you kind of see it going?
Yeah, I mean, I picked Vegas to win this series originally in 7 games just because I think how Vegas is a more complete team top to bottom versus Florida. And that's definitely showing. The magic, like we mentioned, from Florida is worn off. Bobrovsky is letting in the goals that he was stopping in the first 3 rounds of the playoffs. And now those goals are going in. Matthew Tkachuk, who always plays on that line of where if you're on it, you're being a wrecking ball, you're stirring shit, and you're doing things. You're not taking penalties. You're coming close, but you're not doing it, and your game's productive. He's now gone over that line where he's going overboard. He's being a detriment to his team, and he's taking stupid, stupid misconducts. He's already accumulated the 9th most penalty minutes in the Stanley Cup final history.
Yeah.
That stat comes from the Steve Dangle podcast, by the way. I have to give credit where credit is due. And Florida overall, just as a team, isn't playing like a team. They're playing individually. I was trying to say individualistic, but it's not coming out properly.
Individualistically?
Yeah. They're playing hockey individually. They're not playing as a team.
Okay.
And they're taking they're making big hits, but they're taking dumb penalties. They're handing Florida, they're handing Vegas power plays that Vegas is probably scoring on.
Yeah.
I mean, and Vegas is getting all the bounces. Florida's getting none of them. It's just really a scenario where Florida needs to take a step back and look how they won in advance to get to the cup final, because that's how they're going to win to beat Vegas.
Yeah.
And hopefully these couple days off since Monday night, these 3 days off, will have given them that time to look and address things.
Mm.
Because if they don't, if this series is donezo, if they play the way they played in this series, like they played games one and game two, and Vegas wins, I don't see Florida winning game four. I just really don't. And if they do win game four, Vegas is winning this thing in five.
Yeah, at home.
So Florida has an uphill battle. And the big thing is they're trying to be rats. They're trying to engage Vegas in the after whistle garbage stuff. And Vegas is just not paying attention. They're not giving them the time of day. And they are sticking to their game plan. Aiden Hill is on a magical run that I'm sure is going to pay him way more than what he is worth as a goalie. I mean, who knows? Maybe this could be Aiden Hill's coming out party. And Vegas has now found their next starting goaltender. And they look to move Logan Thompson and Robin Leonard. And they go with Aiden Hill and a backup. Or maybe Aiden Hill says, you know what? You've got two guys ahead of me on your depth chart. I know I'm a starter now. I'm going to go somewhere in free agency.
Yep.
And he's a contender for the Conn Smythe. So you have to think, if Vegas wins the cup and he wins the Conn Smythe as a UFA goalie, he's easily getting a 6x5 deal from some team. Easily. And I definitely don't think Aiden Hill, based off his past, his resume, is a $6 million a year goalie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you never know. You never know at all. And Vegas just right now just seems like they're doing their thing. And they're going to win the cup. And I know that's for Florida Panthers fans, I've ragged on you. I have friends that are Panthers fans. I've ragged on you. You're finally here. I mean, it would have been great if you guys could have won, because Vegas, really, it's their sixth year in the league. They're in the cup final for the second time. Like, do they really deserve to win? No. But with the way they've been built, the way they've been run, their owner said right before their season opening game as a franchise, said, we will be within the playoffs in 3 years, and we will win a cup by year six. Well, they made the playoffs every year except for one season, and now they're in their second cup final, and they're on pace to win their first. So I think if any other fan base dreamed, if they were in those shoes, you would take it, like in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
If the Flyers were in a stretch where they were in the cup final the past 2 out of 6 years, and they only missed the playoffs once, I'd be on cloud nine.
Yep.
So good for Vegas fans. But They are an interestingly run organization. They don't have a great reputation around the league. They've gotten they've traded away a lot of the golden misfits, but the ones who have stayed have been very productive, like Jonathan Marchessault. He's been huge in these. Didn't score a goal at all in the first round against Winnipeg, and now he's got 12 goals in the playoffs. Insane. So, excuse me. But big task for Florida. But if they lose tonight, they're donezo.
Yeah, I mean, and Vegas has got a good road record, too, in these playoffs. They're 6-2 with a +16 goal differential on the road from NHL.com. Some of their most complete games have been on the road, like Game 6 at the Edmonton Oilers on May 14th, which was a 5-2 victory to secure their trip to the Western Conference Final. And then Games 3 and 6 at the Dallas Stars in the Western Conference Final, both shutouts at 4-0 and 6-0, respectively. So, you know, they haven't had much trouble being a road team this season in the playoffs. And, you know, we'll see if they win tonight, then that's obviously, you know, proven true once again. And if they somehow sweep this series, then that's, I mean, again, you know, road warriors, so to speak. So
if they sweep, it will be the second time in the Florida Panthers history where they've made it to the cup final and then gotten swept.
History can repeat itself.
Oh, man. And trust me, if that happens, I will be making fun of Panthers fans for that. But then they have the ammo. At least we made it to the cup final. Touche.
Yeah. But before we move on here, just want to give the rundown of the rest of the potential schedule for the cup final. Obviously, game three being tonight on TNT, TBS, True TV, Sportsnet, CBC, and TVAS. Those last three are Canadian networks. Game four being Saturday.
I think TVAS is Europe.
Is it? It might be the French-Canadian network.
No, that is RDS.
Oh, you're right. All right, TVAS. So all the Europeans, watch out for those games. Game four on Saturday night, again at 8 o'clock. I think every game's at 8 o'clock.
Yes, 8 Eastern.
And then, if necessary, games 5, 6, and 7. Game 5 will be Tuesday the 13th. Game 6 will be Friday the 6th. Friday the 16th. And then game 7 will be Monday, June 19th. So, you know, we'll go one game at a time here. You know, again, we could be naming the cup champion by the end of the weekend. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But that's the rest of the schedule here for the cup final. Again, if you're in the United States, you can watch on TNT, TBS, and True TV. Take your pick from those three. It'll all be the TNT broadcast anyway. So,
yep.
Other than that, Dave, I think just, you know, trying to think if we have anything around the league quick. Do you have anything of note or news that you would like to discuss?
No, not really. Just like I said, selfishly, I hope this series does go seven. And I love hockey season, and I want it to keep on continuing as long as possible. But also, yeah, selfishly, if there's a game seven, I will be on vacation in the Outer Banks and will find a nice – I even have a place in mind. There's a restaurant/bar that's over the Currituck Sound and would just love to be parked there and get absolutely toasted on the beach watching playoff hockey. It sounds like a fantabulous time.
There you go.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, we get seven. But
yeah,
potentially we could be recording next Tuesday talking about Vegas being cup champions.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I think that kind of does it for this week. Obviously, we had some big Flyers news. We have the cup final going on, potentially coming to an end sooner than later. So, you know, as always, we give the people what they want here at 5 Minute Major. And, you know, we see
what... We give it to you, the people.
I gotta watch that movie. That looks really good. Well, obviously, I've seen it, but I just haven't seen it in a long
time. It's been a minute since I've watched that one.
Yeah. But... Yeah, I mean, again, you know, we give the people what they want here at 5 Minute Major, and, you know, we don't fake it till we make it all the time. Sometimes we do if we, you know, especially if the Flyers are kind of, you know, the lame duck team that's playing.
In a state of despair.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, I think that does it for this week. And, you know, as usual, Dave, I hand the talking stick to you to wrap us up.
Yes, this is also the point of the podcast where I forgot to do this our past couple episodes, so I do apologize to our dear friends and affiliates in the Pod Street Bullies. They just dropped a new podcast where they also covered the Ivan Provorov deal in their full length of their show yesterday evening, Wednesday the 7th of June. So if you like what Master and I do, you should listen to our boys in the Pod Street Bullies and their excellent work. New podcast, brand new, out now. I have retweeted it on our socials, so that's been covered. So if you need somewhere to find it, hop on the good old Twitter machine, go to our profile, and you'll see the tweet to their podcast there. So make sure you do that. But with that, Master and I will be back next Tuesday, most likely another early podcast, so we can be done in time to watch the cup final game if there is a game five.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, everyone, I'm sure people will be listening to this tomorrow after the game has happened. So go Vegas, go Florida, go hockey. Let's do that hockey. Everyone enjoy your evening and have a great weekend. And we'll talk to you guys next week.